Lord, as we have come, we pray by faith that your presence will be with us. Your presence which brings redemption, which brings deliverance, which brings healing. Lord, your presence which brings joy, your peace. Everything that you, oh Lord, can bless us with. We pray that we'll experience this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all our children, those who have gone to college and have come back, those who have been at home. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have been doing in our midst, that you have kept us. Lord, we remember your word, Father, that your word towards us is always yea and amen, always true. You are the one who protects us. You are the one who grants us your joy, your peace in our homes. Father, so we bless you. As we come this morning in the delivery of your word, I pray for your unction, O God. Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will not speak, not of myself, but by the unction and power of the Spirit, that your word will come forth, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears to the entrance of your word this morning, that we will go back home today filled, fulfilled, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is this place cold? Mitu and crew, are you cold? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can anybody remind us of what we learned last week? Sorry? The life of Samson. And before the life of Samson, we looked at the life of whom? The life of Esau. And we've been contrasting what living by faith is compared to living after the flesh, living a carnal life. Today we'll take a look still in the contrast of faith and sight at the world we see around us today. Was it 2 years ago now? Or was it last year? It was last year, March of last year, right? That this pestilence started and we began to hear of COVID. It was COVID. Then after that, after so many months, what came after? COVID Delta. Now they're talking of COVID Omicron. Is it Omicron or Omicron? Omicron. Okay. They're using those Greek letters. I've been asking myself, you know, and it was a conversation with a few people some time ago, that when will things get better? When will things get better? You know, Romoke, I don't think you were alive when the tsunami happened. You were still in mommy's and daddy's thoughts then. Or do you know about the tsunami? See, you weren't here for the great tsunami. Eh? She was still in heaven back then. That's been 20 years ago. It's not 20 years. All right. Maybe you are still a baby then. Okay. But you didn't know 9/11. You know what it is. All right. Interesting. We're using Romoke as the as the fulcrum of time. So the question still beckons itself. When will things get better? We saw the terrorist attacks And ever since then, terrorism has come to stay because it hasn't gone. Before 9/11, we did not know terrorism on the scale throughout the world like we know it today. The tsunami happened. Earthquakes here and there. Some people actually have been saying that California might be broken from America because of earthquakes that is happening there. So all who is in California here?
A quick question for you.
Then we hear of pestilence in the virus happening, this virus going. We don't know whether this virus thing is now going.
Are we giving out around the clock?
We've been praying that it will go, but it hasn't gone.
Okay.
And then I looked into the word of God. What really has God told us about all these things that we see? Because it, more and more, and, there are two things we have never seen this kind of thing before.
No, no. Okay.
It's either people say that, or they say this is a one in a thousand year event. So a one in a thousand year event has now become a one in 10, 5 year event, more frequently over and over again. But what did God tell us?
The last clause because of his ammonia.
These things that
but he's done there.
Not only that.
So I think
the news we've had of the Ahmaud Arbery. I don't know how many of you have been listening to the case of the killing of that man. The Rittenhouse case. You know, I saw another video a few days ago about one man coming to the house of another and them arguing and him just taking a gun and shooting, you know, one of them dead. And so all these things, the wickedness, it looks as if it's overwhelming. But what has God said? So let's open into the word of God, what Jesus Christ said, just a few verses about some of these things so that we do not live as people who do not have a rudder as to the times in which we live and how we are to live in these times. If you have your Bible, let's open to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew 24. And let me actually read from verse 1. Are we all there? Matthew 24 from verse 1. We'll read from 1 through 14. Let's involve some of the people at home. We'll... Sister Biola, would you please read it for us? Matthew 24 from verse 1 through 14.
My iPad. Sorry. Are you there?
Matthew 24, 1 to 14. Can you hear me?
Why is it dead?
Can you hear me? Matthew 24, 1 to 14. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things at the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come.
So let's break this down a little bit, just to some of the things we are seeing. And you know, sometimes it's only a small verse that gives us the inkling of what Christ is telling us about. It says that from verse 5, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, there's more of that, and we'll see. Actually, let's go to it. Let's open to 2 Peter. And I'll go to the end of chapter 1 through to chapter 2. You know? And it looks like Peter was saying something here about prophecy in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Who is that sitting next to you? Tikumi, Bukumi, can you read, if you're in 2 Peter, verses 19, 20, and 21, please?
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. And so here, Peter was talking about prophecy. He was talking about people who prophesied in the Old Testament, because they did not have what we call of the canon of scripture today, which tells us the mind of God. So for the people to know the mind of God, of all, God to speak through to the people, he will speak through prophets. And we also learned that in the book of Hebrews. God will speak through prophets to the people. And back then, there were people who are called false prophets, who they will give a word that God hasn't given. Some of them will give that word for their own gain. And it's as if Peter was talking about this, and then in verse chapter 2, he just went on a segue, remembering some things. So let's read chapter 2. And he says, but there were false prophets also among the people. That is back then in the Old Testament. There were false prophets amongst them. And then he said, even as there shall be. So he looked at the past and then contrasting it to what is to come. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves with destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, fake, imputed words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their destruction slumbers not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains and of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and so on and so forth. He went on there. So, within the world, Jesus Christ had already been telling us of what is to come. So we go back to the book of Matthew 24. He said that many shall come saying, I am the Christ, and shall do what? They shall deceive many. So these are the things that will happen within the church. We should not think it strange, because we are seeing it all over. You know, it used to be a little bit here, a little bit there, but now it's even more egregious. It's more on a grand scale. You know, it used to be that false teachers, they used to hide their ways, but now it's out in the open. And not only false teachers, it says, you shall hear of wars and what? Rumors of wars. These are the things that are on the news today. If you follow the news between China and Taiwan, there have been talks of China attacking Taiwan to annex Taiwan, to take over Taiwan. We hear of North Korea wanting to attack South Korea. We hear of Russia, Poland. It's everywhere. Wars, rumors of wars. And see that you don't be what? Troubled. So please, let us mark some of the things that Jesus Christ said here. So we will see these things. We will hear of these things. But one, we see that we are not what? As Christians, troubled. We see that we are not troubled. That is the first thing. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. We have seen famines. I guess one of the biggest famines on the earth that we saw in 20, 30 years ago was the famine in Ethiopia. You know, many of you young ones might have heard of that song. You know, the one Michael Jackson and some, well, they call themselves stars, sang. We are the world. We are the, was it? We are the children. Yeah. Do you know where that song came from? Huh? From, okay, you are our fulcrum of time. So where did that song come from? Haiti. No, it wasn't from Haiti. They were trying to raise funds for the famine in Ethiopia. That is why they gathered together to sing that song. And so these things about famines, they are not new. And I will dare say that we haven't heard the last of it. We're talking about what today? Global warming. I was reading an article a few weeks ago that they were seeing snow in Cameroon, in the equator. Very soon, we'll be seeing snow in Lagos. We'll be seeing Harmattan in America. You know, it's as if everything is being turned upside down. Famines. And we shall see what, apart from famines? Pestilences. What's a pestilence?
Disease.
Anybody knows what a pestilence is? Something that doesn't leave you? From the word pests. Yes. It's an infestation. Sometimes it's an infestation that kills, like we have COVID. Sometimes an infestation maybe of locusts that will come through your land and wipe out all your crops. We have all these things. Remember what the Lord says, don't be troubled, because we will see it. We will see it. Okay? Pestilences, we have seen it. It's going to happen more. Next one, earthquakes. A very, very big earthquake that happened recently was which one? Haiti, thank you. One happened, I didn't even hear of that one. In Peru, okay. There was an earthquake in Japan which brought about a tsunami. We heard of Haiti. Haiti suffered two devastating earthquakes now. And before, these earthquakes used to be 3.4, 4 point something on the Richter scale. Now we're seeing 7.8, we're seeing 8 point something. These things, they are getting more and more. Earthquakes, pestilences, famines in various places. And it says, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Next thing, which is, you know, the one that we hardly talk about, which is because it's difficult for any Christian to hear. And I will say it is difficult, but this is why we come here, to equip ourselves of the things we are seeing today, so that we won't think it strange when they come upon the earth. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you to be what? Is that amplified? Okay. Deliver you to, I like it the way he put it. Arrested, persecuted, and killed. I thank God because in the country in which we live today, there is relative safety for the Christian. But don't think like it's like that everywhere in the world. Don't think that, look, you as a Christian from the West can go to any country of the world and open your Bible or worship in public and nobody will do anything to you. It is not like that in many places. In northern Nigeria today, Christians are being killed in droves. In North Korea, for you to be a Christian is a sin against the nation. In some parts of China, in Indonesia, which, you know, Indonesia is one of the largest Muslim communities in the world today. In many parts of the world, Britain is becoming like that again. In many parts of the world, Christians don't have the kind of freedom we see here in the West. And so we shouldn't think it's that, oh, it will ever be like that. Because as Christians, like I said, it's not an easy thing to say. But the day might come, and we are beginning to see it. In Canada, it's been seen. There's a gentleman who goes out to preach on the streets that I've been following, preaching the word of God out in public in Canada. He was arrested and taken to jail. The day might come, even here in America, where to preach the word of God, where even to gather like this, might become something that will be arrested for. We were looking at the case of Australia a few days ago, where Christians who gathered, before you gather as a church, you had to register. Each person that comes to church has to scan their COVID vaccination or something like that, you know. So these freedoms are being taken away little by little. And the day might come where we will not be able to gather together any longer as Christians to worship. We don't know, but we have got to let ourselves know. Because like I said, the question is, when will things get better? I don't know. But what Jesus has said is what I'm trying to make us see and to follow. Because even in these things, he says, don't be what? Troubled. Let's go on. So I like your translation. Please read verse 9 and verse 10.
Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other.
So we have to know that Christians, if you declare, you know, there was a book I read some time ago called Hard to Believe. And in the Roman times, because you had to pledge your allegiance to the state, to the Roman state back then. So for you to declare allegiance to Christ as a Christian, you knew that you could be killed easily. You knew that you could be killed. So for you to take the step of becoming a Christian was a treasonous act to the state in Rome. So people could not, they did not easily, you know how we say, just say this prayer. You say, it wasn't like that. Because the reality of their Christian work showed in their lives and their commitments and the community in which they found themselves. So if you took the step to say you became a Christian, you are taking the step to say you have signed your death warrant. It might not be palatable for you younger ones, but I'm trying to make you know that these are the things that Christians before us faced. And these are the things that we could face in our times. We read the book called Fox's Book of Martyrs some time ago. You know, it chronicled the lives of Christians that went before us. A few weeks ago, we talked about Abraham, who God had promised him a city. And he came to the place where God had promised him. Yet, he still lived like a stranger in the place where God had promised him because he was looking for something better than where he was, something that wasn't made with human hands. Then, it says after that, verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Just what we've read about. And because iniquity shall abound, because iniquity, you know, this very, very, just one word, and the depth, the reality of what this means upon the earth today, iniquity shall abound. Iniquity. Iniquity. Somebody looks at you and hates you to the point of wanting to take your life because of the color of your skin. Somebody looks at you, and because of one disability or another, they just want to wipe you out. Iniquity shall abound. Somebody look at you, because of your race or where you come from, that you're a Jew, they want to put you inside ovens and burn you just to wipe you out. These were the things we saw back then. We might think, oh, these things can't happen in our times. But recently in our times, we read about Rwanda, about the Hutus and the Tutsis. Do you know how long it took for them to kill 800,000 people? It took less than a month for them to kill 800,000 people. The West could have gone because they knew about it to prevent it, but because there was nothing that was in the interest of the West in Rwanda, they stood back and watched people being killed. And that is why today I pray for Nigeria that we will not get to the place in Nigeria, where the same thing happens, because we're seeing echoes of this thing over and over again. Iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall grow what? Cold. The love of many shall grow cold. It's, you know, there's a basic human virtue. That when you see somebody in need, you go help the person. When you see somebody in trouble, you go help the person. But when that basic human virtue now has turned into something else, that you see somebody in need and your thoughts are to kill that person in need, you see somebody in trouble, your thoughts are to drown that person even in more trouble. You know, that is what it means for the love of many to grow cold. This is not just, you know, love between husband and wife. This is basic human love. That is just you see somebody to help the person. You see somebody to alleviate the suffering of somebody else. It will die. It will grow cold. But he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Second thing. Number one, don't be troubled. Number two, live a life of endurance. Don't be troubled. And, you know, I'll tell you why. In Psalm 91 that we read, 1st of January to 2020, it started with, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I was reading the last few verses of that psalm, and it's like it blew out what Christ was saying here, that don't be troubled, but endure. Let's open to it, and real quick, and I'll show us something before we close there. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, we'll start with that. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now let's go to the last few verses from verse 14. Let me take it from verse 13. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent, and shall trample upon the underfeet. Then verse 14 says, because he had set his love upon me. And that is for the person who believes in God. Because you have set your love upon me, I will warn. I will deliver you. I will set you on high. Sorry, what's your translation say on set you on high?
I'll read for 14. The Lord says, I'll rescue those who love me. I'll protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will bring them and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation.
So, in my own King James, I will deliver them. I will set them on high because they had known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Sometimes people have gotten overwhelmed because in this COVID crisis, what we have known or what has been talked about has been the COVID crisis itself. One thing that has been downplayed that hasn't been talked about is the mental health toll this pestilence has had on many in the population. But there's something for us as Christians to glean from what Christ is telling us. Because if you continually look at what we see around us, it can become troubling to the extent of becoming depressing. But for us as Christians, we have a helper who is able to deliver us in times of trouble. That's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that the person whose heart is set before me, if you look at your trouble, your troubles will grow into mountains. If you look at Jesus, the mountains will be there, but there'll be a path through the mountains that you won't see if you look at your troubles alone. Let me repeat it. If it's only your troubles you look at, the things that are before us, the pestilence before us, COVID before us, we read of war here, war there, earthquake here, famine here, murder here. We're afraid to go out at night because we don't know who is going to kill us. We're afraid to go to the south because, you know, the spirit of the south is up again. It will become depressing. It will become depressing. But then there's somebody, there's a God who walks who with those who trust in him, that he said that I will deliver you. It's not that these things won't come. It's not that these things will not happen. I thank God we all are still accounted for. Abby? We trust in God. That's all we have. All of us, since 2020 that this thing happened, how many of us are no more? We're all still here. It's not because of our doing. It's just that we trust God. And if God decides that one of us will be no more, we will still trust him still. Because what we see here is not all there is for us as Christians. But, like I said, you know, these words are really comforting, at least to me. If you know how these stories of the Psalms came about, you remember that in the time of the Judges, when we read about Samson, about Samuel, it was said at that time of the Judges, people lived like they pleased. Iniquity was everywhere. Murder was happening. You read the story of one person forgotten the whole, how it went, a tribe of Benjamin. Was it the wife that went out and was killed, raped and killed, and then he had to cut up the body and send it to so many parts of Jerusalem, to Judea, just to let them know what. So it was upside down. Samuel came, and then after Samuel, Saul came, began the time of the kings. David came, and all the wars around David, what happened? God gave him peace all around him. All the troubles in the land, God caused the troubles to come. And Israel, for the first time, after so many years, Israel began to experience relative calm because God was with David. Brothers and sisters, COVID might not go, but we will not be troubled. We will trust in the Lord. China might attack Taiwan. We will trust in the Lord. Russia might attack America. We will trust in the Lord. Recession might become a problem. We will trust in the Lord. Those who don't know, there's something about recession that, you know, those who know, they know about. We will trust in the Lord. Don't be bothered about all these things that you see around you. But do what? Trust in the Lord. You know, we've been talking about faith and those who live carnally. This is what it means to have faith. This is the essence of faith. Faith is not, you know, when it talks about preachers who want to make merchandise of your soul, they've made faith into you believing God to give you every carnal desire of your heart. But faith is in what has Christ said. I will trust in him. Because if you read the book of Hebrews, where it talks about faith, it talks about those who are in trouble. Some of them were not delivered from the trouble they were in. Those whom God had promised things, but they knew that there was something bigger in store for them. Some were fed to the mouths of lions, just as he says that some people will be killed. Some were sown asunder. These things were not seen in the West, but do not let us think that we are immune from it. Do not let us think that we are immune from it. Because sometimes when there is no trouble around you as a Christian, you get lulled into a sleep that nothing can come upon you. And brothers and sisters, what I'm preparing us for, what I'm talking about today, is so that we would know that there's a God who is able to deliver. That when we see strange times, even more and more, we will remember today. And we will not be troubled because God is with us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again that we can trust you for all things. You are our rock, you are our shield. It says, those who dwell in your secret place, they shall abide under your shadow. The shadow that protects from the searing sun. In these days in which we live, you've promised that we will see pestilence, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, all the troubles, all we see around us, pestilence in COVID, global warming, whatever it may be. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be set upon you, that we might know that in this world, we have no continuing city, but we look to that city to which you will bring us eventually, not made with human hands. Please give us eyes of faith to see, O Lord. Father, as we see all around us, the world might be troubled. The world might go into depression. We pray that you will be our joy. If we have, if we don't have, in the midst of plenty, in the midst of little, in the midst of war, in the midst of famine, we pray, Lord, that our joy will not be based on that which is temporal. But our joy will be based upon you as we look unto you. So, Jesus, teach us more about you. Give us even greater faith, we pray, to live in this world that, Lord, is troubled with so many things. To live without trouble in our lives, Father, and to be able to be stayed upon you in all things, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a Him.